John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we were thinking with you last week of the need, or the supreme need, for fruit bearing in the life of the Christian. Again, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and this is the last of the seven I ams. I am the bread of life. Chapter 6, verse 35. I am the light of the world. Chapter 8, verse 12. I am the door. Chapter 10, verse 9. I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 11. Then in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. 11:35. And then 25, rather. Then he goes on in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here is the last of the seven. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bear more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, or appointed you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I'm sure that the Lord will bless this portion, this beautiful portion of his word to our hearts this evening. In the 15th chapter of John, this particular area, we see the stress of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon the fact that Christ, the Lord Jesus, is the true vine, and we are the branches. And the theme of this portion is abiding in Christ and bearing fruit. This portion has been taken out of its context to prove by some that a person can lose his salvation. They cite verse 2 and they cite verse 6 as the proof text, they say, of a person losing his salvation. As we said last week, this passage has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. The emphasis here is not upon salvation, but upon bearing spiritual fruit and abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked into this last week in the first section, in the relationship. There is a divine relationship. The Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, Israel, in the Old Testament, was looked upon as a vine, as the vine of Jehovah, but it became unfruitful. It became unproductive, and the Lord had to discard it for Israel for a while, as we're told also in the book of Romans. But the Lord Jesus Christ says here, I am the true vine. Just as he said earlier on, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then he says that you are the branches. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is attached to the vine, the Lord Jesus, in a spiritual sense. And he says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, you are the branches. And the vine does not bear fruit, but the branches bear fruit. And the importance here is not only abiding in him, but also bearing fruit. If you look at this passage, there are some 8 times in this short passage the word abide. Also, there are at least 8 times in this passage that the word fruit is mentioned or is seen. Fruit, fruit, fruit. Abide, abide, abide. And if you abide, he says, you will bear fruit. And the Lord Jesus Christ not only said he's the true vine, but he says, my Father is the vine dresser, the husbandman. And the thing that God the Father looks for in the life of those who are the Lord's, those who have belonged to him, he examines our lives to see if we are bearing spiritual fruit. He comes and he looks in our lives. He examines your life. He examines my life. And he wants to know if we are bearing spiritual fruit for his glory. That's what we're told in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So the emphasis here is upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the true vine, the Father, the husbandman, and then in this passage we see the branches. These are the believers in Christ. And the responsibility of the branches is to bear fruit. You know, I understand that, in fact, it's been said that the vines or the wood that comes from the vine really is not good to make anything, furniture, anything. It's hardly worth anything even to use as firewood. And so its chief production or its chief responsibility is to bear fruit, is to produce the strength, the sap, so that the vines, or the branches rather, abiding in the vine, will bear fruit. Then we mentioned last week that the Father, the husbandman, comes, and those unproductive vines he takes away. There is that supreme thought, or the supreme act of taking away. Unproductive Christians are taken out, are removed out of the scene by the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that. But the idea here too, I believe, is not only that last thing in view, that greatest form of discipline, that God will remove an unproductive believer out of the way. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, some are weak among you, some are sick, and some sleep, some have died. But the idea here too is, as some have suggested, and I like that idea, that before that happens, the vine dresser lifts the vine up to a higher elevation, not only pruning it, not only taking off all of the dead wood, but lifting it up so that it might bear fruit. And then even the branches that are bearing fruit, the vine dresser prunes. We mentioned this last week. Beloved, the Lord may be working in our lives, and there may be some pruning. There may be some difficult things happening. And we go through times of testing. He's not doing that to hurt us. Oh, it brings pain sometimes, but he's doing that so that you and I might be more productive in bearing spiritual fruit. Then we saw last week, or last Thursday evening, that the Lord Jesus stressed the importance of bearing fruit and abiding in him. In verse 6, a verse that is taken out of its context to prove by some, or as a proof text to teach the falling away doctrine of the person to be saved or lost. It's not speaking of salvation here. It simply says very easily, or very simply in the verse, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire that they may be burned. And the thought is this, that if a person who claims to be a Christian, who says he's a Christian, he's not living for the Lord, he's not producing spiritual fruit, his life is unproductive, and he doesn't have a good testimony, the men of the people of the world will take that testimony, that person, and cast it into the fire. They have no regard, they have no respect for a Christian or a professing Christian who is not living for the Lord. But now tonight we want to go on, because I want to share with you this evening the responsibilities that are seen in this passage. Our responsibilities as the branches attached to the Lord Jesus Christ in the spiritual sense. What are they? Well, first of all, as we've emphasized again last week, and we want to do it again, is to abide in Christ. Is to abide in him. You see, that's all that the branch has to do. In other words, the branch attached to the vine draws its life, draws its source of life and strength from the vine. The vine, the life of the vine flows into the branches. And the branches produce the fruit. But the idea is this, that the branch has to draw its strength from the vine. And beloved, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us here. He is saying, let me live my life through you. Let me live my life through you. Let my life flow through you. Let my life just be poured into you. And how does this come about? As we yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives, as we yield to God's Word in our lives, as you have in verse 3, we are clean through the Word which He has spoken unto us. Again in verse 5, in verse 7 rather, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. You see again, my words abiding in you. You rest in me. You draw your life from me. And let my words abide in you. And His words are the words of Scripture. Beloved, there is no shortcut to spirituality. There is no shortcut to us bearing spiritual fruit. I can tell you this. It's not easy. It takes a life of discipline. It takes a life that is yielded to the Lord. It takes a life where we're daily filled with the Word of God. Where God's Word becomes our meat. Where God's Word becomes our daily portion. This is where it comes from. Go over with me, please, to the book of Colossians for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. And let's look at a verse there. Colossians chapter 3. This again speaks of the Word. In chapter 3. In verse 16. Colossians 3 and 16. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Word of Christ. The word dwell means let the Word of Christ lodge. Let the Word of Christ feel at home in your hearts. Let the Word of Christ be at home within your lives. This is where it comes from. If I am going to grow spiritually, if I am going to produce spiritual fruit, it comes not through my own efforts. It comes not through my own struggles and trying to do it. You know, there are a lot of Christians who are struggling to live the Christian life. It doesn't come from struggling. It comes from abiding, from letting the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, flow in through us. And it comes as we rest in Him, as we let Him live His life through us, and as we let His Word feel at home in our hearts. Notice what He says. He says, let the Word of Christ feel at home in your hearts, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, the result of the Word-filled life is going to be threefold. Yes, we are going to bear spiritual fruit, but the results of the Word-filled life is going to be threefold. It's going to be produce inward joy. It's going to produce upward praise to the Lord. And it's going to produce outward submission. We're going to see this. The same thing is said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, where Paul says, be not drunk with wine wherein is to excess, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. And then he says, this is going to result in you're going to be speaking to yourselves and to one another in psalms and hymns and so on. He says there's going to be the joy, upward joy unto the Father, and there's going to be the outward submission. We abide in Him. We rest in Him. We just simply, day by day, as we feed upon His Word and as we talk to Him in prayer, we say, Lord Jesus, blessed Lord Jesus, live your life through me today. Oh, Lord Jesus, pour your life into me. And as we read God's Word, and as we feed upon God's Word, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, the result is going to be that we are going to be like the branches. We're going to be abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 3, not 2. 1 John chapter 3. We not only feed upon God's Word, but look at verse 24 of 1 John chapter 3. Here is the thought and the truth of abiding. First of all, it is through the Word of God, and then it is by the power of the Spirit of God, who indwells us. Our body is His temple, is His sanctuary. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given unto us. Oh, beloved, not only do we abide in the Lord Jesus and draw our strength from Him, but in the person of the Holy Spirit, He is abiding in us. And as we read God's Word, as we feed upon God's Word, we grow spiritually. And the result is going to be seen in bearing spiritual fruit. Now let's go back to John chapter 15. One of the responsibilities is to abide in Him. And secondly, as we read God's Word, there's going to be the daily cleansing. You know, there's one thing. If we're in God's Word, and if we go to the Lord, we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, open mine eyes afresh today to hear wondrous things out of Thy Word. Speak to me, Lord. Reveal Thyself to me, Lord. We're going to be blessed by God's Word. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. If we come to a meeting like this with opened hearts, and we come asking the Lord to speak to us and to bless His Word to us, it doesn't matter who's preaching. We're going to receive something from the Lord. We're going to receive a blessing. We come looking to men, then we're not going to receive a blessing, but if we come looking to the Lord, we're going to receive a blessing. You see, not only ought we to abide, but also there is to be obedience. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 14. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. You see, beloved, not only are we to feed upon God's Word every day, not only are we to let the Word of God feel at home in our hearts and read it and meditate upon it, but we're to be obedient to it. We're to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abiding in Him means that we're not only going to be filled with the Word, filled with the Spirit, but we're also going to be obedient to what He says in His Word. You see, that's the thing. There are some Christians who don't want to have some things from God's Word because what it shows to us are things that we should do. And if God says to us, do it, we ought to do it. That's what the lesson that Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, back in the second chapter of John, said to those servants. She said, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. We can't say like Peter said when the Lord gave him the vision of the sheet in Acts chapter 10. As he was there at Joppa and the sheet came down filled with all manner of clean and unclean fruit. We can't say like Peter said when the Lord said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord. That's a contradiction. We're going to say, Lord, we're going to have to say, yes, I'll do what you say, Lord. If we say not so, we cannot say Lord. There are areas of our lives where we must obey. It's not just hearing the Word of God, as James says, but it's being doers of the Word as well. You know, if you look into the mirror, you've been outside working in the yard, or you've just come in and you've been working in a project somewhere, or maybe you've been in the kitchen or whatever it is, and you go look in the mirror and you say, oh my gracious me, I've got some dirt on my face. I've got something on my face. The first thing you want to do is to wash it and clean it off. Right? You don't leave it there. The same is true with the Word of God. As we look into God's Word, it is a mirror. And it shows us there's something wrong. And it shows us an area of our lives where we must correct something. And beloved, we've got to correct it. Isn't it wonderful to see how God's Word not only exposes these things, but when we obey Him, the Lord Jesus says, you are clean. Oh, I love that verse in John 15:3. You are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. So there must also be abiding, there must also be obedience to the Lord. These are the responsibilities. Very quickly, look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here is a third area of our lives that we're going to have to, if we're going to produce spiritual fruit, we're going to not only abide in Christ, also we've got to be obedient, but we've got to love one another. We've got to let the Lord, love of the Lord. And if we are abiding in Christ through His Word and the power of the Spirit, if we are obeying Him, we're going to automatically start loving one another more. One of the greatest things that's needed in the church today, isn't it, is love. Oh, there's so many things. It's one of the things that I think we have to confess. Lord, first of all to Him. Lord, as the hymn writer says, Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is often weak in faith. And if our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is such, our love for each other will be such. You'll notice what the Lord Jesus said there. He says, as my Father has loved me. He loves us. He says, even so have I loved you. He loves us with the same quality and the same quantity of love that the Father has for His Son. Isn't that something? God loves us. He says, now, you continue in my love. You continue in this love. You continue in my love. The word continue means to realize His love and to enjoy it in our lives. He says, now, let this love of mine be shed abroad in your hearts. Let this love of mine reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. No. Some of us are easier to love than others. That's right. Some Christians are easier to love than others. And some people, you know, we don't have a big problem loving them. We don't have this. There's no great problem to love some people. But some others, some of us, you know, we get under people's skins. We annoy. But the Lord says, I am to love those that get under my skin with the same love. But I love those people who are easy to love. It's not easy. You know how it comes about? It comes about as I say, Lord, here is this person. Lord, you know I have difficulty with this person. You know this person gives me a hard time. You know, Lord, all about it. But I want you, Lord, to love that person through me. Let me look at that person through the eyes of your love. And it's going to bring a change in our lives. It's going to bring a change in the lives of all of us. There is a child that, I'm not going to say where it is, but I know the case. Pesky. Problem child. And, you know, when that child comes around, most people will sort of shun the kid. But a few people decided that they were going to show that child special love. You know what's happening? The child isn't as pesky as he used to be. The child is responding not to, you know, got so used to being pushed away, even by family members, because of their being precocious and whatever else you want to say. You know what? People respond to love. You heard the story about the brother that was very difficult. And he moved away from this assembly. He moved to another area. And some of them really felt like singing the Hallelujah chorus. They were glad he was gone. One day, the brother, one of the elders from his old assembly met the brother from his new assembly. And, you know, he got conversation, so he was dying. And he says, well, tell me, how is brother so-and-so? The response was, he's a very valuable brother. Valuable? Yes. He said, we've learned a lot more patience as he's come, and we've really been before the Lord in prayer since he arrived in our midst. One group thought he was difficult. The other said he's valuable because it drove them to their knees. He says, and we've learned to share a little more love since he's been with us. See, beloved, the Lord Jesus says, as I have loved you, you love one another. You love one another. And so it's very important. Now let's look at the results of abiding in Christ. Go back to John chapter 4 because we want to finish this. John's Gospel chapter 4. And let's see some of the results of abiding in Christ. Okay, very quickly. There are some beautiful results here. Well, the first thing is, of course, there's going to be fruit, spiritual fruit. I believe here in that section that what the Lord Jesus is talking about is there are going to be new characteristics seen in your life and in my life. And the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ are found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23, verses 22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? The very first one. Number one on the list. Love. That's right. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, it's impossible for me in the flesh to produce love. It's impossible for me in the flesh to respond with a loving attitude towards others. So it has to come through the Holy Spirit producing it within me. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, joy is not happiness. Joy does not depend upon circumstances. Joy is there in spite of circumstances, in spite of problems, in spite of difficulties. A beautiful illustration of this is Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were thrown into the Philippian jail. At midnight, they sang praises to God. You see, they were hurting. Their backs were torn. Their backs were cut by the whip. They were bleeding. They were hungry. They were suffering. Their bodies probably were racked with pain, but they were able to sing. They were able to praise God. They had joy in spite of the circumstances. I remember when I first went out in the Lord's work. I was in Hopetown, I think it was, and I was walking down the street one day. Sometimes I sing when I'm driving. I sing when I'm going along. I was singing. I thought I was singing. And this sister met me, and she says, oh, Brother David, I wish I could have what you have. I wish I could have the joy that you've got, that whatever it was, happy as you are. I said, sister, you can't. But you don't know what I've got on me today. You don't know the problems. You don't know. I said, well, have you carried these things to the Lord? Yes. I said, well, you haven't left them there. Because if you've carried them to the Lord, and you're trusting the Lord to solve your problems, in spite of the problems, we will have joy. You know, some of us say, I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances. Well, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Peace. Love, joy, peace. You see, these are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ that God wants to see manifested in your life and my life. Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Chapter 6, verse 33. John. In me, you have peace. Chapter 14, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. God's peace supersedes all the problems and all the difficulties. It's peace in the middle of a storm. It's peace when things are, we feel like we're going to go under for the last time. There is still peace. An artist was asked one time to paint a picture depicting peace. And the artist painted a raging sea the wind howling, the trees were bending back, and the waves were crashing against a cliff. And high up on the, in the cliff, in the rock was a bird sitting peacefully on her nest. You get the picture? She was at peace. Didn't matter how the waves were crashing, she had peace. Because she was above the waves. There in the crag of the rock. And then the next one he says, love, joy, peace. It says, long suffering. In Galatians 5. You know what that means? Patience. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, you say, Brother David, I don't have much of patience. Well, that's the fruit that we need to work on, right? All of us lack patience. Especially when things are not going our way. And the idea is patience in the middle of problems. Patience with people. Patience with problems. That's what it is. And then he says there is gentleness. Go to it. I'm quoting it. You're not, you know. Let's look at it. Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace. Patience, or long suffering. Look at the fifth one. Goodness. Sorry, gentleness. Gentleness. This is another word for kindness. Kindness. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And you know this is beautifully illustrated in the meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ with the woman who was taken in adultery. They bring that woman, they drag her in. They said, Lord, you're a teacher. Moses' law says this woman should be stoned to death. What do you say? Well, first of all, they did not obey Moses' law because where was the man? The Lord Jesus does not respond to them, and there they are urging on. What do you say? He simply stoops down and begins to write. I don't know what he wrote. We can speculate all we like. But he wrote, and he looks up, and they're saying, what do you say? What do you say? He says, let him that has sin among you cast the first stone at her. Because you see, under the law, if you accused a person in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and they were condemned to die, the accusers were the first ones to cast the first stone. Boy, you know how this would work today. We like to pick up on gossip and all of these things and accuse our brothers and sisters wrong. You know what? Are we willing to face them with what we say or what we heard? And the Lord Jesus starts to write again, and then he looks up and they're all gone. Look how kind he was. Woman, we're at thine accusers. They're all gone. Neither do I condemn thee. He didn't condone what she did. Go. Sin no more. Oh, beloved, there's kindness. Or as the King James says, gentleness. There is goodness. Goodness. I don't have time to dwell on all of these, but you see, these are the fruit. The Lord Jesus says we're going to bear fruit. And if I abide in Christ and His Word abides in me, and I'm walking in close fellowship with Him, and I'm obeying Him, and the fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifested in my life. You know, I pray, I ask the Lord all the time, there's nothing wrong with this. Lord, I want in my life for you to reproduce the fruit of the Spirit. And then there is, quickly, faith or faithfulness. Being faithful. We're living in an age when people are so unfaithful. And then there is meekness. Meekness. And then there is temperance or self-control. Is there an area of your life that you have problems with having self-control over? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Is there an area in my life that I have problems? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And if I am feeding upon God's Word, and I'm abiding in Christ, and the power of the Spirit of God is working through me, and I'm obeying the Lord, He's going to produce within my life these spiritual fruits. That ninefold cluster of grapes, spiritual fruit. God the Father, the heavenly vine dresser, comes down, and He looks in my life, and He looks in your life, and He sees the fruit, and some may not be as big as others, but there's fruit. Glorified. He's glorified. So one of the results is fruit. The second result is we're going to receive answers to prayer. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in me, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And the James says, sometimes you ask, you receive not because you ask amiss. If we're abiding in Christ and being obedient to him, and the fruit of the Spirit is seen in our lives, we're going to ask and we're going to receive answers to prayer. I'm not saying we won't receive answers to prayer, but we're going to see the answers to prayer as God will answer prayers in our lives in various ways, and then very quickly, and then very quickly. Look at verse 11. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Well, the fruit of the, one of the fruit of the Spirit is going to be joy. And finally, look at verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. You see, there is that friendship, there is that intimacy with the Lord Jesus. He says the servant doesn't receive, the master doesn't share his innermost secrets with his servants, but he does with his friends. And the Lord Jesus says, as he's sharing with them, I'm sharing with you, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. You are my friends. You are my friends. All things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And finally, notice verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you. I have appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit might remain. Your fruit shall remain. And you shall ask whatsoever of my Father in my name, he may give it you. Beloved, I believe there, the fruit there, I believe, is the fact that the Lord has appointed us to go and share the gospel with our fellow citizens of Spanish Wells or wherever we may be. And you know, every time we win a soul to Christ, I believe that's spiritual fruit. That your fruit might remain. And so these are the results of abiding in Christ. These are the results of being obedient to him. We are going to see the fruit of the Spirit reproduced in our lives. We're also going to be fruit-bearing Christians in that we will be sharing the gospel with others. You know, you may not lead a soul to Christ, but if you have prayed for them, if you have shared the gospel with them, and somebody else leads them to Christ, you share in that fruit, you know. Oh, yes. Sometimes we give the preachers all the credit when souls are saved. I think of godly parents who have prayed. I think of Sunday school teachers who have shared, who have witnessed. I think of others who have had a word with that person. And all of that, they've been sowing the seed, and somebody comes along and reaps. Spiritual fruit, he says, and your fruit will remain. Oh, isn't it wonderful how the Lord gives us these things in his word. Beloved, let's examine our hearts. Let's examine ourselves and say, Lord, I'm not happy with where I am spiritually. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian for thy glory. You see, I can be very active. I can be preaching. I can be witnessing. I can be visiting. I can be involved myself in the Lord's work, doing all the right things. But if I'm not bearing spiritual fruit, God is not being glorified. Beloved, I might know all of the doctrines of the Bible. I may be able to defend the scriptures. I mean, ably defend them. But the question is am I bearing spiritual fruit? That's important. That's the thing. The Lord says, I want you to bear spiritual fruit. Abide in me. You shall bear fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. Oh God, we all have to confess that sometimes our lives are not fruitful, but there's barrenness there. There's emptiness there. Lord, deliver us from merely going through the motions. Lord, even of coming, we can come faithfully to all the meetings. We thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of thy people. But Lord, help us to examine our hearts and our lives, and to make sure that even if we're faithful to the meetings, that we're bearing spiritual fruit for thy glory. Oh God, what do you see when you look into these lives of ours? We pray, Lord, that all of the barrenness will be taken away. Father, you may need to use the pruning knife of thy word. Cut away some of the dead wood and some of the dross that's there. Oh Lord, remove it and help us to be bearing spiritual fruit for thy glory. Father, may we day by day allow the Holy Spirit through thy word to teach us, to reveal Christ in us and through us as we draw our life strength from him, that there's going to be more fruit in our lives. Lord, we need to love thee more and to love each other more. Sometimes we lack joy and peace. Sometimes, Lord, we're so impatient. We don't have that goodness, that meekness, that faithfulness, that self-control, or that gentleness, Father. Oh, that we might see these, allow you to work and see these fruits manifested in our lives. Help us too, Lord, to be faithful in sharing the gospel with others. Let them know that there is a Savior's love and a home above and a peace that they all may know. Father, bless thy word to our hearts this evening. We thank thee for each one that's come out. Remember those who would like to come but are hindered because of the rainy weather. Minister to them in their homes. Now just be with us, Lord. Bless us, we pray now, as we will separate in a few moments. We give thee our thanks and our praise in our Savior's ever precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.